The first reading for the second Sunday of Easter is from Acts chapter 5. Now, many signs and wonders were regularly done among the people by the hands of the apostles. They were all together in Solomon's portico. None of the rest dared join them, but the people held them in high esteem. And more than ever, believers were added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, so that they even carried out the sick into the streets and laid them on cots and mats, that as Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on some of them. The people who gathered from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing the sick and those afflicted with unclean spirits, and they were all healed. But the high priest rose up, and all who were with him, that is, the party of the Sadducees, and filled with jealousy, they arrested the apostles and put them in the public prison. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, "Go and stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life." And when they heard this, they entered the temple at daybreak and began to teach. Now when the high priest came and those who were with him, they called together the council and all the Senate of Israel and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came, they did not find them in the prison. So they returned and reported, "We found the prison securely locked and the guards standing at the doors, but when we opened them, we found no one inside." Now the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these words. They were greatly perplexed about them, wondering what this would come to. And someone came and told them, "Look, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people." And the captain with the officers went and brought them, but not by force, for they were afraid of being stoned by the people. When they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest questioned them, saying, "We strictly charged you not to teach in this name. Yet here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you intend to bring this man's blood upon us." But Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from the Revelation to St. John, chapter 1. John, to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead and the ruler of kings on earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and made us a kingdom, priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all tribes of the earth will wail on account of him. Even so, amen. "I am the Alpha and the Omega," says the Lord God, "who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. I, John, your brother and partner in the tribulation and the kingdom and the patient endurance that are in Jesus, was on the island called Patmos on account of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet saying, 'Write what you see in a book and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus and Smyrna, to Pergamum and to Thyatira, to Sardis and Philadelphia and to Laodicea.' Then I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me, and on turning I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the midst of the lampstands one like a son of man, clothed with a long robe and with a golden sash around his chest. The hairs of his head were white like wool, white as snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze refined by a furnace, and his voice was like the roar of many waters. In his right hand he held seven stars. From his mouth came a sharp, two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining in full strength. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying, "Fear not, for I am the first and the last and the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and Hades." This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 20th chapter. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord, and Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from anyone, it is withheld." Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. This is the gospel of our Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The disciples heard the news. The tomb was empty. Peter and John, as we heard last week in our reading, Peter and John ran to the tomb to see with their own eyes that the tomb was indeed empty. But an empty tomb is not enough. There were still so many questions, so many doubts, uncertainty that flooded the minds of the disciples. You see, an empty tomb could mean all sorts of things. Just ask an atheist, "Well, how would you explain the empty tomb?" If they're worth their salt or have thought about it at all, they'd come up with all sorts of explanations. Maybe the disciples stole the body, which is exactly the theory that the Jews were spreading around since day one. Maybe Jesus didn't actually die. When they removed him from the cross, maybe he had just fainted or had passed out. This is called the swoon theory. Maybe everybody thought that he was dead, but later when he was in the tomb, he kind of resuscitated. He came back. He snapped out of it. Never mind the fact that, you know, the Roman soldiers were experts in execution, and they know when a man's dead or not, but never mind that. Oh, maybe Jesus didn't die. Maybe he did die, but he didn't actually rise from the dead. Maybe the disciples were just so heartbroken that they lost their leader that they hallucinated this whole event, this whole resurrection story. Jesus never did actually rise from the dead. Or maybe the empty tomb was just an elaborate hoax, a myth. Maybe the disciples flat out lied. Or maybe they intended it more to be more like a metaphor, like Jesus is alive in your heart and your minds if you just believe and you keep him alive there. Nonsense. Rubbish. All sorts of words could be used here. This is a lie straight from the mouth of Satan himself. When Jesus appears before his disciples, in the midst of his disciples, as we read in our gospel reading from John chapter 20, he shows them his real hands, his real feet, his real wounds. He shows them that he really did die on the cross on that Good Friday, and that, yes, he is the very same Jesus who was crucified on the cross, now risen from the dead. He is the crucified one, the one who sacrificed himself as a substitute for all men, for all sinners, laying down his life as a ransom for many, satisfying all of the law's demands and taking God's wrath and condemnation and punishment upon himself and releasing us from the claim that death and sin have on us. Jesus died. He's got the scars to prove it. Jesus is alive. He's got the same scars and the same body to prove it. He is alive in the very same body that was crucified, that was hung on the cross, pierced by the centurion and buried in Joseph's tomb. It's the same Jesus. He is alive. So Jesus comes to his disciples in his exalted, resurrected body. He stands in their midst, not as a ghost or a phantom, but as a real flesh and blood Savior, nail holes and all. The stone that was rolled in front of the tomb could not keep him in, and now the locked doors, for fear of the Jews, could not keep him out. The disciples, filled with anxiety and fear and uncertainty, all of that upon seeing the Lord Jesus gone. They saw the risen Lord Jesus Christ with their very own eyes. They touched his real body. They heard his comforting words from his lips. Peace be with you. And so it was. As Jesus speaks, it happens. Their hearts now filled with faith, the Holy Spirit with joy, and yes, peace. And this peace is like no other peace, nothing that the world can give or anything in the world can give us. This is a peace that surpasses all understanding. It is peace with our Heavenly Father, all on account of Christ and what he has done for us. In their risen Lord and God, the disciples now have an advocate with the Father, a Redeemer who is true God and still very much true man, a high priest who offered up his own life as the atoning sacrifice for all sin, a real flesh and blood Savior who gives them the inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven waiting for them. And so it is for you. The eyewitness accounts of the disciples gives you proof that the real bodily resurrection of Jesus happened. Blessed are those who have not seen yet have believed. That's you. Your doubts, your uncertainties, your fears be gone. For you, dear saints, you cling to Christ crucified and risen, not with your eyes. You don't see him physically with your eyes, but through eyes of faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. And I suppose if you wanted to, you could book a trip to the Holy Land and you could visit the Church of the Holy Sepulchre in Jerusalem. You can see with your own eyes the grave that many people think is the grave that Jesus was buried in. But what will you see there? You won't find Jesus. You'll see a hole in the ground because Jesus is not there. He is alive. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. By faith, our risen Lord Jesus comes and he stands before you in the midst of us in his very word and sacraments, his real flesh and blood present here for us. And you see that through eyes of faith. In his word and sacraments, you hear the same comforting word that came from his lips to the disciples. Peace be with you, the eternal peace. The peace which surpasses all understanding, the peace that you have with your Father is yours through Jesus Christ. So may this comforting word fill your hearts with faith and joy and peace like no other in all of the world. Because you too, because of Christ, are at peace with your Heavenly Father. And you know and you trust that Christ's death and resurrection really has unlocked the gates of heaven for you. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. Let's do it again. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. Stand confident upon that. Stand firm upon that. You have heard from the very eyewitnesses who heard him, saw him, touched him, felt him, etc. Christ is risen. Even now, he's got the scars that prove it. So take, for example, what we read at the beginning of John chapter 20. They're hiding in fear. Jesus comes to them. And then later on, we have our first reading, which is Acts chapter 5. The confidence and gladness, it fills the disciples upon seeing, including doubting Thomas. Instead of doubting, and by the way, they all doubted. We don't just want to pick on Thomas. He should have believed, yes, but not that all of them were doubting and in fear. But what happens? They now see the risen Lord, and then they are confident, and they go and they proclaim the good news of Christ crucified and risen for sinners to the whole world. And in Acts 5, they're thrown in jail for it. Then the angel comes, lets them free, says, go back to the temple, keep preaching, keep teaching. And then they got arrested again for doing the same thing. Then the high priest questioned the disciples, we strictly charge you not to teach in this name, in the name of Jesus. Yet here you are, you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching. And you intend to bring this man's blood upon us. And famously, Peter, standing and speaking up for all the disciples, really the whole church, he says, we must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging on the tree. God has exalted him to the right hand as leader and savior to give repentance to Israel and the forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses to these things. We saw them with our own eyes, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey. The Apostle Peter, speaking up on behalf of the disciples, an eyewitness of the resurrection of Christ. The disciples now are willing to be imprisoned, beaten, even go to a martyr's death in order to proclaim the good news so that you would know that Christ died and rose again for you, that your sins are forgiven. And you know what? Acts 5 ends with these words. When they left the presence of the council after being yelled at and beaten, they rejoiced and counted it a blessing to be worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. And what did they do? Every day in the temple and from house to house, they did not cease teaching. They kept doing it. They did not cease teaching and preaching that Jesus is the Christ. You see, if Christ is risen, that changes everything. I got somebody over there. I'll come back to you. If Christ is risen, that changes everything. In the years following the Bolshevik Revolution in Russia, an official of the Communist Party went to a remote village to a Russian Orthodox church. And there he stood before the congregation for an entire hour, pontificating, bloviating on and on and on about how there is no God. And these, of course, are the people that gave you religion is the opiate for the masses, right? Well, at the end of his speech, he arrogantly looks out at everybody at the congregation. He says, are there any questions? An old priest stood up in the back of the church, slowly makes his way to the front of the congregation. And he stood there before that godless communist official, before the entire congregation, the whole world really, and filled with the Holy Spirit, filled with faith and certainty of the resurrection, he loudly proclaimed, Christ is risen!
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. And the whole congregation replied, he is risen indeed. Alleluia. Who knows? I pray it never does, but could such a thing happen here, among us? Who knows? But I do know this. Christ is risen, and that changes everything. Christ is risen, therefore that changes everything. Like his doubting, fearful disciples who were transformed and strengthened to the point of even going to a martyr's death, Christ now stands in your midst. Christ's resurrection gives you the same confidence and assurance and certainty and faith and Holy Spirit that you are forgiven. You have eternal life. And that your Lord and your Savior, your God, is ruling over all things on behalf of you for your good. So in Christ, if Christ truly is alive, that changes everything. Come what may, in this life, you can stand firm. You can stand firm upon Christ who is risen. All anxiety, all uncertainty, all of it be gone. You can be confident. You can rejoice, and you can be glad. Why? Because Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. Amen. In the name of Jesus, amen.